Divorce can feel like your life has fallen apart, but what if it's actually the beginning of rebuilding something better? Divorce coach Raquel Barton joins Women Winning Divorce to talk about rediscovering yourself, shifting your mindset, and creating a post-divorce life that's stronger, more intentional, and more fulfilling than before.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity, so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Raquel Barton joins us. Raquel is a CDC certified divorce coach who helps women get organized, regain clarity, and rebuild their lives after divorce. Through her coaching work, she supports clients in navigating the emotional and logistical challenges of separation while helping them develop a clear plan for their future. Raquel's work is deeply personal. After 21 years of marriage, she was blindsided when her husband told her he was no longer happy. As a 48-year-old mother of three who believed she had a wonderful life, the sudden end of her marriage left her hurt, confused, and unsure of what came next. Although her divorce remained amicable, the experience revealed just how overwhelming and disorienting divorce can be. Today, Raquel uses her personal journey and professional training to help others move through divorce with clarity, intention, and confidence as they rebuild a life that isn't just different, but better. Today, Raquel and I will be discussing what it really means to rebuild your life after divorce, the mindset shifts that help women move from survival to empowerment, how to rediscover your identity after a long marriage, and practical steps to create a future that feels intentional, fulfilling, and aligned with who you are today. Welcome, Raquel.
Thank you, Heather. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I am so happy to have you. Raquel, would you share a little bit more about yourself and the journey that led you to becoming a divorce coach?
Well, that's a long, I want to say it's a long journey, but it may not be. I don't know. By trade, I'm actually an educator. I've been an educator for about almost 26 years. Okay. So what happened was after when he came to me and told me that he wanted a divorce, you know, it's really hard to go from two really, and I'm sorry if in the background, you're going to hear my cats running around. I have two cats. So they're playing tag today just at this moment in time. But it's really hard to go from two really good salaries to one salary by yourself. Mm-hmm. So after we separated, I realized, Raquel, you need some more money. So what I ended up doing was, I'm a high school librarian. So the easiest thing for me to do was to go work for a public library. So that's what I did. I went to, you know, I applied at, you know, one of our public libraries, you know, got hired. I did that for a couple of years. But what happened was I wasn't at home with my son. We have three children. My two oldest were in college. So, you know, they weren't at home. But I think it was 12 or 13 at that time. So I was leaving being at school, you know, working at a school. And then I was going, you know, even though it was only a few days a week, I was leaving and I was going, you know, to another job. And I wasn't getting off, you know, to like 8:30. So it's like, I wanted to be at home with my child. I wanted to be at home with my son. So I started, you know, perusing online about, you know, work from home jobs and things like that. And I actually happened up on a thing called being a virtual assistant. And I was like, oh, what's that? I'm a researcher by trade. I do research. So I did some research and I found out what a virtual assistant was. And I was like, hey, I can do that. So I ended up becoming a virtual assistant and kind of navigated all three of those things at the same time, you know, for a little while until I got some clients. And then once I, you know, I got like three or four clients, and then I was like, okay, I can let this extra library job go so that when I get off of work, I could come home and I could do my work, you know, do my virtual assistant work at home with my son. I didn't have to be out of the house, you know, blah, blah, blah. Well, I did that for several years. And then kind of after COVID, after I had been doing it for a few years, I decided that I wanted to coach other women to be virtual assistants. Then I went on to, I joined a coaching program, you know, with this grand idea that I was going to be this virtual assistant coach, and I was going to have this group program, you know, all the things.
Right.
But one day during a coaching session, there was another lady that was in the group who was already divorced, and she had two special needs children. And she always had so much trouble with her ex with when it came to money and doing his part to take, you know, to take off some, you know, take the, when you have, it's one thing to have kids at home, but it's a whole nother thing to have special needs kids at home.
Indeed.
Because that's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So she was always struggling, you know, with getting, you know, with the money, getting him the help, blah, blah, blah. And I think I went off on this tangent during the coaching program about, you know, men and divorce. I don't even remember everything I said, but my coach at the time, her name is Tay, stopped me and was like, Raquel, I've never heard you be this passionate before about anything. This is probably what you should be doing. You should be coaching women going through divorce, not being a virtual assistant coach. And I was like, yeah, maybe you're right. So again, I went on my research journey and I found a certification program. And two months later, I was in that program.
Wow.
I think it was like $2,500 to do the certification. And then it was like a 6-month certification program. And that's where I've been ever since. And that's how I started. Because it was that coupled with, I had joined, you know, once I got divorced, I was like, I needed somebody else to talk to or who was going through the same thing I was. So I joined, like, I found a Facebook group online and, you know, was chatting back and forth with these women and hearing some of these women's stories. I was like, people crazy.
Yeah.
When you go through divorce, it turns into It turns into a completely different beast, a completely different animal. And I'm like, and in my divorce, even though it wasn't what I wanted, I had decided from the beginning that I was not going to do drama, because I guess that's probably just what I saw drama in divorce when my brother got divorced from his ex-wife. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I can't do that. So I literally by myself, not even with him. We're going to do this. And then I told him, and he was agreeable to it. Mm. We're doing 50-50 custody. You going to keep your car. I'm going to keep my car. I'm going to move out. You're going to pay me the equity in the house. You're going to keep your retirement. I'm going to keep my retirement. And he was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And that was it. And, you know, we got along well. I mean, I'm not saying there was no hurt there. There was no pain there. There was no, you know, a little suffering there, but I decided for myself that I was not going to let it further traumatize me, that I was going to look at it a different way.
And I mean, that's a lot because, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, this began with a divorce you didn't even expect or really want. I mean, how long did it take you to get to that point? Like within him telling you that, okay, this is how this is going to go.
Probably about a month.
Hey, that sounds very like, I mean,
probably about a month.
You allowed yourself some time. I mean, some people, like, it's years and they're still not there, but you really, I just
dug my foot in and was like, yeah, we're not going to do the whole drama and we're going to make these decisions and I'm not going to traumatize. We're not going to traumatize our children. We're not doing any of that. So I'm thinking because he was the one that wanted the divorce, that's why I didn't get any pushback. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Because he wanted it, there was no pushback. In general, he's a great dad. You know, he's a great dad. And he grew up the product of a divorced parents too. And he was actually raised by his dad. So he's always been, you know, he was always, you know, a great dad. So I knew I wasn't going to have any pushback or problems, you know, with 50-50 custody, you know, where I was like, I felt like I made a pretty decent salary. Yes, I had to go out there and get some, you know, and get some extra money, but I was like, we're not going to fight about child support or spousal support. You keep your stuff, I'm going to keep my stuff, and we're both going to be okay. And that's just basically what we did. But that's how I became a divorce coach. It was just, you know,
Yeah, I mean, that's a great journey for that because that's, I was talking with another guest, like not that long ago. And when you find your passion, when there's something that fuels you that then also helps you make a living, it's an amazing thing because you just can help people in so much more than somebody who's just kind of doing it, but doesn't really have that purpose and passion about it.
Right.
Now, in those early days, after your husband told you you wanted a divorce and, you know, if you were separated, what were some of the biggest emotional challenges that you faced?
Probably the emotional challenges that I faced was the life, you know, thinking about the life that I had envisioned for myself was gone, you know, our kids were, like I said, I had two in college and then my son was like 12. So I think like 12, 19, and 21. I think that's how old they were at the time. So, you know, we were getting to this point where it was almost over. You know, the kids are almost out of the house.
Right.
You know, sooner or later, you know, a child or two might get married. And, you know, we might have grandkids. And now we can start going on all these vacations. You know what I'm saying? Doing the vacations, doing all these things that you don't necessarily... Not that you can't do, but you're kind of limited sometimes when you have kids, you know, when you have children.
Yeah,
you know,
it'll be different.
You know, it's just different. Right. We're going to be in a house by ourselves. And just all of these plans that I had envisioned for my future were gone.
Yeah.
And I had to rethink all of that. I had to like back up. I'm like, okay, like what are you going to do now? You know, and then I struggled with my age. You know, I was 48 years old and I'm like, who I want to date a 48 year old? I struggled with my weight, you know, so I got back in the gym. I went back to the gym and I started, you know, exercise. And that was another way to process, to just get out all that energy and maybe that anger, you know, that, cause I still held, I held on to a lot of anger. I did.
Mm-hmm.
I held on to a lot of anger and I actually put myself in therapy because I had a hard time with forgiveness.
Okay.
And I knew, I was like, I'm going to have to, at some point, forgive myself and forgive him for our kids. Because I didn't want us to be in a situation where we couldn't even be in the same room with each other because I was so angry and still so hurt. So I went to therapy and worked on, that anger and that forgiveness. But it was just, those are the things I dealt with. You know, I was just, and I'm pretty sure it's things that all women deal with. You know, I didn't necessarily worry about the finances because I took care of that part. I took care of that part immediately. But the pain and the hurt and the what is my life going to look like now? That's stuff that you're going to continually to think about. Because the finances, that took care of that part. I went and got a job. Now I got some extra money. You know, I'm good. But the other part, you know, it takes more time to deal with that part. And that's what I struggle with.
And I think that it makes a lot of sense. And a big part of your life is gone. And in the future you envisioned is gone. Your dreams,
it's erased
hopes,
now.
And,
yeah,
it's gone. And so it's like, I've got to start over. And it's like, wait, I'm 48 years old. That was not in my plan.
No, not in my plan at all.
To go start that over. Yeah.
Right. Not in my plan at all.
Now, many women feel like they lose part, you know, of their identity during a long marriage. Now, did you experience that? Or did you, you know, have any challenges, like, when you were rediscovering, like, who you were going to be outside of that relationship?
Necessarily think that I lost part of my identity because, how do I explain this? Because I literally got 3 degrees while I was married.
Okay. Okay.
I went to, like, when I first met him. Like, literally, in my late 20s, when I first met him, I was in school getting my bachelor's degree. And then after I got my bachelor's degree, I went on ahead and got my master's degree. So I didn't lose any part of my identity of who I wanted to be as a person, like the career I wanted. We had, you know, yes, we had kids, you know, we had children. But like I said, he was a good dad. He didn't leave me, you know, to my own devices and didn't help. And I know that's a struggle. You know, that is a struggle for some women because sometimes women be in marriages and they feel like single parents inside a marriage. I never had those feelings because he was, like I said, he was always a good parent. But as women, we are conditioned to stroke a man's ego. You know what I'm saying? When you're married, that, you know, you can't be smarter than him. You know, you don't do too much correction, you know, the things that, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I do feel like, even though we were together for over 20 years, that I did not fully express myself the way I needed to or the way I should have. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I was really and truly my authentic self in that marriage. And I didn't become that person until after. So I just think it's part of the conditioning that, you know, that women that we, you know, that we, how we grow up and how we're raised and how we watched our parents, you know, how we watched our parents and stuff like that. It's just you're conditioned to kind of shrink yourself, you know, a little bit. You know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think I lost my identity, but I do feel like I kind of lost my voice a little bit.
That seems, I think that happens to a lot of women. And, you know, we fall into patterns. And then you're like, wait a minute, who am I, my true authentic self? Which does lead to my next question, because you now help, I guess, women and men, or just women, rebuild their lives after divorce.
Just women. I work mainly with women.
And you know, what does that, what is rebuilding yourself? Like, what does that mean? I mean, that just seems like, kind of might seem overwhelming, I'm sure, but it's possible.
It can be. But, you know, it's all a part of, you know, kind of what I did for myself was once, especially for someone who was married, you know, people, there are people who get out of 20-year, 25, 30-year marriages, and it's like, you have to rebuild. You don't have any choice but to rebuild after that and see your life different. So what I try to, part of my coaching is, what do you want your future to look like? What do you want your future to look like financially, emotionally, personally, career-wise? What do you want your life to look like? What are those, what do you want to do with your life? What are their dreams that you had before you got married that you kind of laid to the wayside once you got married and had kids and had a family and did all of those things? What are those dreams? Are those, can you go back to those dreams, and are they still possible for you now? Because again, there are people who go back to school at 30, 35, 40, 40, you know, years old. If your dream was to go to college or to go back and go to school to get another degree, okay, why don't we see about how you can do that? But let's figure that out. Let's figure out what you want your future to look like. Does it involve travel? Does it involve moving into a different state, different city? You know what, you know, that's how I approach it, you know, with my clients. What do you want your, not just, let's not just try to get past this moment, just get past this divorce. What do you want your life to look like on the other side? What's going to make you happy on the other side?
And then that's perfect, because my question is, well, how can someone move from or move through simply surviving the divorce to intentionally creating a life they're excited about?
You're just, you know, it's about mindset. It's about what do you feel your gifts are. It's about not giving up, not giving in to, you know, if it's, you know, depression or sadness or whatever, just what can we do to lift you up? What can we do to lift you up? You know, what is one thing that you want, that you, what is one thing that you wanted to do that you've never done? Let's work on that. And then once we work on that thing, then you can do something else, and you can do something else, and you can do something else. Like for me, it was traveling. Like last year, last summer, I spent an entire month in Greece. That's something I could have never done when I was married. You know what I'm saying? That's not something I could have ever done. But like a coworker and I, who had also gone through a divorce, you know, we were sitting at work one day, like, man, we should. And we was like, why don't we go somewhere and spend a whole month in another country? And we was like, okay, well, let's do some research. So, you know, we were online researching and we picked Greece. And I literally spent the entire month of July in Greece last summer. And it was the best, most amazing experience I've had in my life. And again, I never would have been able to do that if I was married. I would never been able to do that. So like, what is a dream? What is a goal that you wish that you never succeeded in doing that you can do now, that nothing is holding, you don't have another person holding you back from doing it? And, you know, in your, or you take that block from you, take them blinders off. What can you do to make that goal come into fruition? So that's the way I approach it.
So what are some of the most common mindset blocks that keep women stuck after a divorce?
Money and kids.
Okay.
Money and children. I think money and children. Because I think in certain situations, there is a need for the woman, for the mom to have primary custody. But I think all women should explore 50-50 custody.
Okay.
You know, because why are you giving that man so much free time?
That is so true. You're right.
Why are you giving that man so much free time?
You're giving him all this free time.
You're giving him all this free time. Why are you giving him all this free time? Why is he getting every other weekend when you're getting every single day? Why are you giving that man all that free time? That's, I'm like, if he, now some men can be shitty husbands. You know what I'm saying? Yes. But is he a good dad? Can he be a good dad? You know what I'm saying? Can he be a good dad? And if he can, then get that man 50-50, 60-40. Let him have some custody. Let him do some after school, you know, to get that home, you know, getting homework and getting kids in the bed and waking up in the morning and getting them to school, you know, and things like that. And I think a lot of women struggle with they're my babies and I want my babies with me all the time. Yeah. I think they struggle with that. I'm just like, you just giving that man all that free time. What you doing that for?
Well, and I think I love the way you said that, because then it allows someone just to start looking at it different, right? Because sometimes we just need a different perspective.
Right, exactly.
And we're so in it and so tied to, but I do it better.
Right.
I think that can be harmful on so many different levels, but also the reality of the laws, you know, across the nation, certainly in Florida, have really changed. And so it's more common. And so I think that, you know, women will be healthier and more balanced, like if they can just recognize that, like what you said, why should he have so many free time?
Exactly.
And that feeling is, this is a personal attack on you,
or on your mother.
Right.
Yes. And I think that's that whole stigma of moms are supposed to have the kids with them all the time, you know, but it's like, he's a perfectly capable adult. He should be able to take care of and manage his own children. So why are we not doing at least 60-40, 70-30, something like that? You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, I don't understand. But like, I know sometimes, but again, that's also, it goes back to what I said about financially too. You know, like some women may need, you know, the child support or the spousal support to get them to a certain point where, you know, they can manage on their own. So, you know, so it's kind of like, you know, it's a double-edged sword. I think it's not, you know, sometimes, but to me, I'm just like, let that man be a father to his, let him be a father to his kids. Let him be a father. Let him take on those daily duties that women inherently take on when they get married. You know, kids come home, you're doing the homework, you're cooking the dinner, you're making sure they go to bed on time and making sure they take a bath and da da da. Let him get some of that.
Yeah.
He needs some of that too. He needs to experience that too.
And it really is better for your children to see the different sides. And
yes.
Yeah. And the court's going to make you do it on some level. So.
Because I think there are
embracing
some.
Embracing it is a better way.
Yeah. Because I think there are some states now, that's what they start off with. It's going to be 50-50, and you have to give them a reason why it shouldn't be 50-50. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, let's talk about some of the common financial mindset blocks, because I think that keeps so many women stuck as well.
It does. And it does.
What are some of those things that you can share with us?
You know, I was actually, I don't know if it was either yesterday or day before yesterday, I was looking to the episode. I was listening to your episode about the lady that was talking about financial abuse.
Yes.
And a lot of women go through that, you know, so it can... Sometimes it's a barrier for them even wanting to even get a divorce, because it's like, what am I going to do? Because sometimes he turns into a completely different person after y'all get divorced. The same man you marry is not the same man you divorce. The woman you marry is not the same woman you divorce.
Yeah.
they turn into a completely different person. And sometimes if they are experiencing financial abuse, it exacerbates. It gets worse when you start going through divorce because he don't want to give you anything. And it doesn't matter that she was a stay-at-home parent. And the reason why you're able to make the money that you make and you've been able to succeed in the job that you have is because she was at home taking care of all those stuff. And men just sometimes they don't see it that way. And it's just, they have a block. You know, we're seeing it that way because we love a woman's unpaid labor.
Oh, yeah.
We love unpaid labor. You know, women have been going through that since the beginning of the time, you know, unpaid labor. So, yeah, I think, financially, sometimes it's a barrier. And if you had never paid the bills in your house, if you've been having to ask for money to buy groceries, you know, buy the kids school supplies, clothes, that's a barrier, and that's sometimes a struggle as well. So if you've been out of the workforce, you know, for 5, 10, 15 years, finding a career or a job that's actually going to pay you a good decent amount of money to be able to take care of yourself, take care of your kids, it can be hard.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, for those women listening, right, who are overwhelmed by the idea of starting over, I mean, part of that is, okay, it is going to happen, right? Let's say, okay, the divorce is happening. This is going to happen. And if you can embrace the challenges, you know, because then it can be, you can experience, you know, something that you never had, you know, it could be worth it. Mm-hmm. But where should they begin when they're just feeling this overwhelm of, you know, how do I start over? You know, I'm thinking, you know, like now I'm going to have to be parenting by myself. I'm going to then be by myself or my kids go with my husband. I maybe have to get a job or a second job. You know, they can be overwhelmed.
You have to start by actually just looking at the numbers. Right. You got to sit down and you got to look at the numbers. You know, can you afford, like if you're in a home, can you afford to stay in that home by yourself? Or do you need to let him have the house and you go find someplace, you know, a little bit cheaper? But it's really look at the numbers. Rent, mortgage, lights, water, gas, car, you know, car insurance. Just start with the numbers. That's the easiest place to start is to start with the numbers and calculate exactly how much you think you're going to need every month to survive. To be able to pay your bills, go to work, put gas in your car, you know, do those things. How much? Just start with the numbers. That's the base. And that's one of the things that I, you know, I'm sure as a lawyer, that's one of the things y'all asked for. Is that, was it a financial affidavit or whatever?
Yeah.
Look at the numbers. You know, put it all down on paper. Because once you see it on paper, once you see that number, whether that number is $1,000 or $2,000 or $5,000, then you know what that number is and you know where you need to start. And if it takes baby steps to get you there, then let it take them baby steps to get you there. But as long as you're moving, don't let it defeat you and just be like, okay, no, I know I can't. There's no way I can do this by myself. Don't let it defeat you. Figure out a way. Start those baby steps and figure out how you can make it happen for yourself. And honestly, sometimes it may take you a year. It may take you 2 years. It may take you 3 years to get there. But start those baby steps. You know, open you a checking account. If you don't have your own checking account, open your own checking account. Open your own savings account and start squirreling money away little by little until you get to a point, okay, now I got something to work with. Now I can do something with it.
Yeah.
And it's
right. Well, and I think, you know, and I know you've heard this, maybe said this, you know, we like overestimate what we can do in a year, but really underestimate what we can do in 5. And if you really are realistic, it'll be here before you know. We all know time seems to go so quickly. But if you start on a plan and baby steps, you can get there.
You can get there. Exactly. It may be baby steps, but
yeah,
if you make a plan, and you stay focused on that plan, you can do it. You can do
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, divorce often forces people to redefine their relationships, especially like we were talking about, you know, with children and they're involved. And how do you help women begin building a healthy co-parenting dynamic? Also, why, you know, healing themselves? Because that's a lot of emotion.
It is a lot of emotion. And sometimes it's hard. But the simplest answer is to just make a choice. Just make a choice for you and your kids. Just make a choice. Because it's better, even though you're divorced, it's better to have two parents who can get along than two parents who can't. Mm-hmm. And you just have to make a choice. And then sometimes it may not even, you have made that choice, but he may, you know, people always love to like to say that the woman is bitter. The woman is bitter. The woman is bitter. But sometimes it's the man, you know, sometimes it's the man.
Right.
He can be a bitter baddie just like, he can be a bitter baddie just like anybody else. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, it's the man, but it's like you internally have to make a choice, which is something, like I said, which is what I did. I remember I said in the beginning, I made a choice that I wasn't going to be bitter, that I wasn't going to hold on. I made myself go to therapy so I wouldn't hold on to that anger and that what was pulling me back from forgiving him for basically that whole, you know, that future I had vision for myself that was over. I had to internally say, okay, you're not going to be a bitter baby. You're not going to do that. No one is going to walk around ever and say that Raquel was bitter after this marriage. Absolutely not. You're not going to, no, absolutely not. I just wasn't going to do that. So sometimes you just have to make a choice within yourself. And sometimes that may take therapy. Like I said, for me, it took about 3 to 6 months of therapy for me to get to that point. But you just have to make a choice. And think about your kids. Think about your children. Because you still have to share them. Even after they turn 18 and they're on their own and you're not responsible for communication anymore between, you know, navigating that communication, you still gonna have to be around each other because you're gonna have birthdays, you're gonna have marriages. You're going to have grandkids. You're going to have to be around that person. So do you want to hold on to that anger like that? Because you hold on to that, holding on to that anger is going to age you. It's going to age you.
It will.
You don't want to hold on to that. You don't want to hold on to that anger. It's like every time you see that person, like you got your nose turned up every time. You got this angry look on your face every time you see your ex. You don't want that. Yeah.
You don't want that because, you know, and despite how old your children are, right? Come 18, some states, you know, 21, right? Where the court ordered stuff is over, right? Now you guys just got to live. And from, a child who had divorced parents, you know, as I became an adult, it's like, I'm not doing this. Right. I'm not going to two places. If y'all want to come see you, if y'all want Christmas with us, you're going to have to both be here. You want Thanksgiving, you're just going to have to do it. And
this
is where we are as our family are celebrating with our holidays with your grandchildren. So it's up to you if y'all can do this together or not. And my brother felt the same way. And, you know, it's amazing. It took them, you know, 35 years. Well, it wasn't that long, but it was close. It was a long time. But then they were able to almost kind of work together where I was like, well, you know, I'm taking care of my brother's kids, but yeah, guys, I need y'all to drive them here or pick them up and do this. And they could actually like communicate and meet to exchange like their grandkids to help their children. And that's a beautiful thing.
It is.
And it's a beautiful thing for their grandchildren. So it can happen. And let's be clear. They were divorced probably in the 70s, 80s. Like, so none of this stuff existed, right? It was just
exactly.
There was no like, oh, be good parents, give him 50-50, not a shot. But they got there. And I'm sure now if they could have realized and done it better earlier, but they were also young when they married and young when they divorced. But, you know, there is, I think for the women in the divorce, right, that you're in a great position to help and coach them through this. It's like, this period is so intense, right? And it just seems like everything. But like that, your kids are 18 and you got to go on with your life. But yet you're going to have to interact with him, you know, with your kids for the rest of your life. It's just so worth it. This is such a snapshot. And fighting over one extra night a week where they're spending the night. It's like, guys, like it seems so important and necessary at the moment. And I feel for those women because, like, I can't convince them otherwise. I've just got to help them understand the reality of, well, you know, you want this. What are you willing to give up? Because that's the way it's going to have to work.
If we
get there. And it's hard, right? Because as a mother, I think women are like, well, I'm not giving up nothing. I should get all the stuff I want. I did all the work, right? But a lot of them see it that way.
No, it doesn't.
And
Yeah.
It's hard.
It is hard. Women. And when you said that, it just made me think of, because my ex-husband is now remarried, but we celebrated Thanksgiving together. I went to Thanksgiving at their house over Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's like you just have to make choices that are even though our kids are grown now, you're just going to have to make choices for the betterment of your children, not necessarily for you. There's some things you just might have to suck up. And I'm sorry to say that, but some things you just may have to suck up. But as time goes on, like you said, what's going on right now is just a snapshot.
Yeah.
It's just it may just be 1 or 2 years of your life. It's just a snapshot.
Yeah.
And in 10 years, is this going to be important? Is this fight right now going to be important 10 years from now? It's probably not.
It's probably not. And we both know, hey, there are some that are.
Yes.
But that's the question you do have to ask yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when we talk about the co-parenting and all this stuff, you know, I don't know if I'd call it a mindset block, but if you're in the mindset that then I'm doing this for him and I don't want to do anything for him, I think that's an important shift. It's like, one, you're doing it for your children, but for yourself, because your children are yours. And, you know, or I mean, not your property, but like, if they do better, that's better for you, because we all want our children to do well and be successful.
Yes.
So,
right.
And it's a challenge, I know, because it's that mindset. Well, then he wins or he gets this. But it's like, well, maybe it's really your children are winning. Your children are getting more of that together, less animosity. And that is winning for you too. Everybody's winning. Everybody's winning if your children.
If you're getting along, everybody wins. The kids win. Yeah. You win, he wins, the kids wins. And that's the kids win. That's what's important.
It's true. Now, okay, let's talk about your podcast, When the Fairy Tale Ends. What inspired you to create that show? I love that name. Love it. Love it.
You know, it all came about, you know, during that, you know, those first 6 months, you know, after he wanted to be separated, I was like, because, you know, I hate women are so, I mean, just think about the cartoons that we watched as kids. Girls were pushed toward Cinderella and Sleeping Beauty and Beauty and the Beast, where the boys was like Transformers and, you know, G.I. Joe. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's, you know, that's where we were. We were sold this fantasy.
Yeah.
Of what, you know, you're going to meet a guy and you're going to fall in love and you're going to have kids and you're going to have this white picket fence. Everything, you're going to live happily ever after. You're going to get your fairy tale. No, that's not what happens. We were sold some bullshiggity. That's what we were sold. We were sold some bullshiggity. And that's where it came from. You know, and then being a lot, all of those stories were rewritten to those, you know, to this fairy tales when that's not how the original stories, they were cautionary tales.
Yeah.
They were cautionary tales. They were rewritten to be geared toward girls and women to push this fantasy of find, you know, you're only going to be happy unless you find a man and you get married.
Yeah.
And that's just, and then sometimes you think you found your Prince Charming. That's not what he is.
That's
he can be something totally different. Yeah. Give me something totally different, you know? So it's like, that's where I was like, so what happens when your fairy tale ends? And that's where it came. And that's where it all came from. And I've been actually been holding on to that name, to doing that podcast, to all of that, probably since 2018, 2019. This year, where last year, end of last year was when I finally decided, let's go ahead and get this podcast started. And that's what I did. So, yeah. And I'm actually getting ready to record 2 episodes that deal with, it's going to be like a two-parter that deals with, you know, the fairy tales and the leaves and all of that that we were sold as girls. Yeah. So, yeah, that's where it came from. Because it's like, my fairy tale ended. So what do I do now? That's where it all came from.
Well, I love it. Mm-hmm. We'll make sure we have links in the show notes for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Now, Raquel, before we go, Our show is Women Winning Divorce because I do believe you can win at life and win at divorce. But I'd love to know, what does winning at life mean to you?
Winning at life to me means being able to spend a month in Greece.
Yeah.
And literally spend the year. I spent a year saving for that trip. I bought me a first class ticket.
That's awesome.
Okay, I bought me a first class ticket to go, and I got to spend a month in an apartment in Greece and just explore all of Greece and enjoy myself. It's also finally living my authentic self, that when anybody meets me now, they're going to get the authentic Raquel. You're not going to get the watered down version of me. You're not going to get the representative that a lot of us show up as sometimes. Right. No, you're going to get the authentic Raquel, and you're either going to like me or you're not. And that's okay.
I love that.
Because I'm 55 years old, and I'm too old to not live the life that I want to live, that I deserve to live. I'm not going to depend on anybody else to make me happy. That's my job.
There you go.
That's my job. That's what it is to me.
Well, lastly, Raquel, where can our listeners find you, learn more about your coaching services, and listen to your podcast?
My website, my Instagram, and my threads is all Her Divorce Academy. Yep, Her Divorce Academy. That's where you can find me.
All righty. Well, we will have that all in our notes. And we have reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Raquel Barton, for joining us and for sharing your insight on rebuilding life after divorce. Your story reminds us all that while divorce can feel like an ending, it can also be the beginning of rediscovering who you are and creating a future that's stronger, more intentional, and more fulfilling than you ever imagined. Thank you.
Thanks, Heather.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.